Good evening and welcome to A Step Beyond Time. This is the beginning of our new season and we want to welcome all of you for joining us again as we start the new season. Tonight we're being taped so there will be no phone calls coming in and we are going to be sharing with you again the special beautiful being of light that was on our last show. First of all, I'd like to introduce you to Dr. Herbert Byerly. In 1978, the greatest gift of my life metaphysically came into my life. A journey of 1,000 miles began with that first step. It's not been an easy step, but a wonderful step. One that has embraced the love of God, the light of God, the joy of God within myself. And just know that all of you, by listening to his special words and living these special words, can make a difference in your life. The life that I came from was one of great learning, and so the life that I've lived in my spiritual truth has been a great learning, but it's also been a great joy, great accomplishments by just knowing that I am a being of God's love. And this man teaches it so profoundly, so truthfully, so powerfully, but not only does he teach it, but he reflects it in every aspect of his life. He lives his truth, he walks his talk, he lives everything according to how he brings it to us. He has incredible books that he has written, and you will have a phone number and an address that on the television where you can send if you'd like some of his books. And this will not be the only time he'll be here. We will encounter this incredible man again in June. So let's give him a big welcome, Dr. Herbert Byerly from St. Paul, California.
Thank you. Now, don't you wish you were me? I get to hug all the beautiful men and all the beautiful women and all the beautiful children, and people don't think that I'm, you know, being cheating or something like that. They think, boy, are you lucky. Now, how many of you have ever heard of Robert Williams? Robin Williams. Oh, yes, Robin Williams, right. And remember what he said about Vietnam? Huh? Remember? Now, you don't realize that he established a new cause for Vietnam at that time. And he says, good morning, what?
Vietnam.
So let us say, good morning, Tucson, together.
Good morning, Tucson.
I love you, Tucson.
I love you, Tucson.
I like you, Tucson.
I like you, Tucson.
You have the greatest streets in the world. You have the finest educational buildings and organizations and so forth, institutions in the world. Get away from just the buildings. So. You have the finest institutions for education in the world. You have the finest institutions for education in the world. You have the finest hospitals. You have the finest governing men and women, you know? You have the... Thank you. You have the finest men and women in your government. You have the finest government of any city in the world.
We have the finest government of any city in the world.
You're doing great. We went to Australia. And as we were in Australia, we arrived there when the money was going down and the government was in bad repute. And so we spoke to the Theosophical Societies, to the Unity Churches, to the Religious Science Churches, to the universities there in Australia. And we said to the people, we said, why are you putting a cause in motion that you don't want to experience? You're putting a cause in motion saying that Australia has a terrible dollar. It's just sinking. And it has a terrible government. Don't be so noisy over here. It has a terrible government, and that government is a terrible bunch of people. Hey, now, you're not going to have a re-election or an election soon, so let's do something about it. Let's say that Australia has the finest dollar in the world. It's the highest, the best dollar in the world. It is the best buying dollar in the world. Australia has the finest legislators in the world. And I taught that everywhere and everywhere and everywhere. People say, Herb, why are you doing that? You're not from Australia. Because everywhere I go, I see what I am. And I am the high dollar. I am the finest legislators in the world. Uh-huh. You know? Everywhere I go. Well, we were there 3 weeks, approximately a little less. And by the time we left, the people had been doing their homework. And the dollar was up. And the legislators were in fine repute. They were wonderful. We had some children on campus at the University of Healing, and we were singing the song, God bless America, the land that I love. I stand beside her and guide her. Blessing with the light from the light from within. Okay, now, we said, hey, what are we doing wrong here? And one little boy, 8-year-old, he stood up and he says, I am God. I bless America. I said, hey, you're cool. So we sang it. I bless America, land that I love. I stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from within, and so forth. And then we went to Guyana, in South America. And in Guyana, they were just coming out of a very terrible, terrible governmental issue for the people. And we said to the people, hey, let's put a good government in motion. Not that we got to get new people in the government, but we want to put a good government in motion. So, I bless Guyana, the land that I love. I stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from within, from the mountains to the prairies, as all flat land, to the ocean, white with foam. I bless Guyana, my home sweet home. They laughed. I bless Guyana, my home sweet home. I taught them the song. My associate and I sang it for them again and again and again. And they put it on the radio, they put it on the television, they put it, all the school children that we were invited to go and visit, they took down as the learning class in school to teach the children that they're blessing their country, they're blessing their world, they're blessing their family. Then we went to Nigeria, and Nigeria, you think your streets need a little repair? You go to Nigeria, and you drive along, and it's in the jungle, you know, and the rivers are running under the roads, but there's no culverts or anything. It's just a flowing water, and occasionally the road will go plump, drop down, and 20 feet. And you always drive with the car in front of you, because it goes down first, you know, and you have time to drive around. Well, it was quite something. For us to go between the different cities we traveled maybe about 20 cities, between each city, we had to be careful of these roads. We had the driver and a person who was standing there next to him watching carefully to see if it was a real road or a mirage. And it was a real road, fortunately. So, and it was wonderful. But we went to every school, big and little, and we taught these songs. I bless Nigeria, land that I love. And they loved it, they loved it, they loved it. And the kids who could afford to go to school were the sons and daughters of the legislators. And they went home and told their mommy and their daddy all about it. And their mommy and daddy said, ooh, hey, yeah, interesting. You're not against the government. You're not against Nigeria. You're not against the country. You're for it, but you're speaking with a consciousness for it. You're giving it your love. It is done unto you according to your belief. That's what Jesus taught us, remember? So it's done unto us according to our belief. So these people in Nigeria, they put us on television. And you know what the first question they asked us? They said, not really the first. I was speaking about many things as I often do, you know. I had a lot of fun. They asked me questions and I can. And finally the moderator, she says, now, Dr. Barley, you haven't told us why we can say we are God. And I thought, oh, wonderful, you know. And so I told him, there's nothing but God in the universe. Everything is God, so you're God. Start acting like God. Start acting like God. How do you think God acts? How do you think God would act under a circumstance? How does the phrase go? Ray?
I am God, God I am.
Ray, before I speak or think or act, I say, how would I, as God, respond? Ray goes out. He takes that beautiful card that we had 30 years ago, and he takes that card, and he prints it up, and he gives it out to all of his friends and clients and customers and members of his church and stuff like that. And now he forgets it when I ask him the question. My goodness sakes, you know. But you got the idea right. You know, I am God. That's fine. The thing is, how would I, as God, think, act, or respond? How would I, as God, respond? How would I, as God, respond? If some little boy came up to you and said, "You stink," what would you say to him? Pow! Push him in the nose? Or would you say, "Hey, I'm sorry. I didn't know. Thanks for telling me. I'll go home and take a bath. I'll go home and change my clothes." "Oh, no, no. I'm just trying to pull your leg. I'm just trying to..." You see, the moment you agree with your adversary, anybody who acts unkindly toward you, they're not acting unkindly toward you. It's just their way of making friends, you know? How do Eskimos kiss? You know, they rub their noses together. How do other people respond to each other? They respond to each other with whatever way. And what do little boys do that are madly in love with little girls? They chase them, you know? And they say, "Hey, come on, I want to be your friend, you know, come on." And the girl says, "Look, a little slower, son, a little slower. Just take your time, take it easy. We've got many years before we're mature adults and we're going to live in a life with a friendship or relationship or whatever we want to do, but, you know, it's time. You know, the little girl was chasing you, what would you do? You turn around and you say, 'You want a kiss?' And then she'd run away." You know, scare her with the truth. And tell her, "I love you, I love you, I love you. Oh, I'm glad you caught me, you know, I love you." And, you know, you never have any trouble in life if you immediately respond to it. Well, in Nigeria, things are making tremendous change. Now, let me tell you a secret. In Nigeria, they lay on the 8th largest bed of oil in the world. The 8th largest bed of oil in the world. And they're not even capitalizing on it. So I went to the schools and I said, "You're lying on the 8th largest bed of oil in the world. You are the most wealthy country in the world. You are the most fantastic country in the world. You are the garden spot of the world." And in the almanac, they said about the government that it was corrupt. And I said, "Now, you contact the almanac people and you tell them they should not put hearsay in there. You do not have a corrupt government. You have a wonderful government. You have a government that wants to work for the people, helping the people." How does the United States statement go? "The government of the people, for the people, and by the people." And so this is what I share with everyone around the world. And they say, "I thought you were talking about spiritual principles." Boy, am I talking about spiritual principles. What cause do I put in motion to get a response? I put the cause in motion for the response that I choose to have. You know, when I go to Nigeria, and I go there often once or twice a year, and I lecture in all these schools and colleges and things like that, and the people are always out there, you know, third world country type, you know, with the handout, and I say, "No, no, no, no." I say, "You've got the money. Now you just see yourself where you want to be, and the money will be there to pay for it. If you want to take the course at the University of Healing, and you say, 'Oh, it's too expensive,' then you don't want to take the course. If you," and excuse me, I'm that person sitting next to you, "if you, sitting in that empty chair right there, if you have cancer, and you need an operation, and the operation's available at the doctor, you're going to go, and you're going to have it done, because if you don't have it done, you'll be dead." You know? So you'd find money, wouldn't you? You'd find the money. The government's not going to let you die. They may give you a hard time, but they're not going to let you die. They're going to pay for it. The money will be there somehow to take care of whatever you need. Whatever you need in your life, the money is there to take care of it. Whatever you need in your life, everything that you need is there to take care of it. This is what we're teaching in Nigeria and in Ghana. G-N-H-A-N-A. You know, that's next to Nigeria. And Guyana is in South America. And we get to all the places, and to Egypt, and to Europe, and to Asia. I'm not trying to tell you that I know a lot of people, a lot of countries, you know, but it is fun. It's fun, and it's a lot of work. But I enjoy it. Now, in every country, "I love Montreal." And I do. And I have a lot of classes up there. land that I love. And in every country, I teach them, love yourself. Now, yesterday we were teaching about healing, and we were teaching of the energy massage, taking your hand and gently putting it over your entire body and saying, I like me, I like me, I like me, I love you, body, I love you, body, I love you, body. And perhaps for the first time in our life, we're saying, I love you, body. You know? When's the last time you told your body that you loved you? You look in the mirror and you say, yuck, I don't like my face. Oh, get the sleep out of my eyes. Oh, get mascara on and all that silly stuff, you know. And what do we love the most? We love these farm girls who have no cosmetics. And they get out of bed in the morning, they stick their head in the bucket, you know, and they come out and shake their hair, and they look just like the most beautiful, gentle soul on the face of the earth, and you want to hug them and kiss them and love them, and you want to say, you're wonderful, pure, to the pure, wherever your head is, to the pure, all is pure. Remember? Isn't that what she read? To the pure, all is pure. Well, now, the purer we can be, the better it is for me and you and all of us. Now, this is what we want to practice. I had, let's finish off our visit to Nigeria. I've been working with these people and teaching them these songs and teaching them these words. And naturally, they will tell me their stories of woe, and I will instantly say, hey, no problem, no problem. You say you want fresh water in your house? You're not serious. You're not serious. If you want fresh water in your house, you tell me. You tell me. And for $200 and whatever the electricity costs a year, which is 38 cents a year, for $200, I'll see that you get a gadget that will give you pure water in your house for your bathtub, for your kitchen, for your living room, for everything. For a whole year, for just 38 cents and the $200. And it's good for years and years and years. It's called ozone. My neighbor came over one day and said, you know, you're spending too much money on the chlorine and all that other stuff you're putting in your swimming pool and in your jacuzzi, and why don't you just buy an ozone maker and put it on there, and it'll purify the water, and you can drink the water of your Swimex and your swimming pool and your jacuzzi and all these things and what have you, and the dogs are drinking it already, anyhow, but why don't you do that? And we said, where can we get it? I sell them. And we said, great! And he designs them. And so I told the people in Nigeria about this, because water over there is not too cool. Water in Ghana is not too cool. Water in most of the third world countries is not too cool. And ozone is not new. Romanshorn in Switzerland is a community on the Bodensee. And when I was there in the 70s, visiting with some of my students, down the street, about three houses, right on the lake itself, was this great big building. And I said, Patrick, what's that building? He said, oh, that's the ozone factory. I said, what do they do? He said, well, they make ozone. I said, yeah, well, they do the ozone. Well, and they run all the water of the lake through the ozone, and they deliver it to the houses so that everyone has fresh water to drink and to use in their houses. Wow, that's great. And where do they get the ozone? From the air. You know, they manufacture it right there. You know, what's ozone made of? Two oxygens. You know, O2. You know, they take the H2O and get the H out of it, and they have the O2. And the ozone layer is in the upper atmosphere too. You know, and it purifies our air that we breathe and everything else that comes in here. It has a far greater factor than we know. But and I'm not trying to teach you about that. But I'm saying I put a cause in motion that I went down there to work with them, to help them to see answered prayer. And their prayer was for better water. Their prayer was for wholeness. Their prayer was for a government that cared about them and put in good streets and good hospitals and good schools. You know, hi, Jonathan, you know what they had to do in Nigeria? When the kids go to school in the morning, they carry their school bench on their back and they take it to school. And after school, they take it home. because if they don't, someone's going to borrow it and take it home themselves. So every day, they don't just have to carry their books, which are not very many, they have to carry their school bench. Now, that's a silly thing too. So we're working with them that the schools have adequate furniture, adequate benches, you know, the long table nobody can carry away with the bench under it and stuff, and they're working through those things just fine. But you see, these are causes we're putting in motion. Now, what does that have to do with healing? Well, one of my students, very exquisite lady in Switzerland, she had two grandchildren that were living with her. Not really living with her. They were living with her son who lived next door, and the grandchildren were living with her. You know how that goes. And they were having a great time. But the grandson is perfect. Perfect. You know, the ideal kid. Pick up your clothes. He picked them up before you even tell him. You know, do your homework and do it well. He did it before he came home. On the way home from school, he had his homework done. And so, but the girl was charming and just about a year younger, and she didn't do those things. She did a lot of not nice things, and I'm not going to say what they are. She did a lot of not nice things. And the grandmother said, you know, it's easy to love him, but it's hard to love her. And I said, sweetheart, you chose both of those children in your life, not as your own, but as your sons, and you love them as your grandchildren. You can't help but love your grandchildren, you know. You love them as your grandchildren, but you don't like the way they do things. And so I said, him, you love him, and you like him, but don't take it too easy. That's a continuing job, because he's going to do little things that you don't approve of, and you're going to have to like him in spite of that. Now, she's doing things that you don't approve of. Can you like her in spite of that? Not in spite of it, but can you like her because she is your creation? And she, well, it's not a very good creation. I certainly bummed out there. I need to do some work on that. And I said, yes, you do. I said, start hugging your granddaughter like you hug your grandson. The grandson leaps at his grandma, you know, and he hugs and she hugs and oh, you're so wonderful. And the granddaughter comes in, hi, hi, Grossi. That's what he calls him, yeah. Grandma Grossi. Hi, Grossi. And, you know, a flying kiss, you know, if any. And what did you do in school today? Oh, nothing, you know. The teacher called and said that you had done something you shouldn't have. They're lying, you know how that goes. And so, the grandmother told me these things, and I said, well, you are open for a healing here. Now, how are you going to put a cause in motion for a healing here? And she says, I have to love myself first. I said, that's a great start. And then after I love myself, then I have to love everybody else in my world. I said, no. First you love yourself, and then you love everybody in the world just the way you love yourself. I said, have you been acting like your granddaughter? A little spacey at times, you know? Have you been acting like your granddaughter? A little bit irresponsible at times? But I'm an adult. That's right. That doesn't give you a right to act irresponsible, you know? That doesn't give you that right. And so she began seeing this. And I said, now I want you, with unconditional love, to grab your granddaughter every time she comes in the house and say, I love you, 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 and just speak loving out to her, you know, just unconditional love. And the granddaughter will say, what did I do, you know? And just love her, love her, love her, love her, love her. And don't say anything. Don't say, why did you do this and why am I getting that report? And just love her, just love her. Well, this went on for 2 weeks, where she actually did what I asked her to do. Do the unconditional love bit on her granddaughter every single evening when she came home from school. And within those 2 weeks, her attitude changed about that. On the ranch, we have a woman who is a snooty woman, you know, raised in riches and all that sort of stuff, and never had a dog, you know, never had anything in her family to mess up her beautiful penthouse apartments, and her children were always behaved properly and stuff like that. And so I felt she needed to have an experience. So, I gave her my dog. My little Schnauzer. And my little Schnauzer is a real fine dog, a nice lover. But she says, but it's not my dog. I said, good, good, good. Okay, you go and you buy a dog for yourself. So she went out and bought a mini pincher, a little tiny black thing, you know, like Doberman pincher, yeah, like a Doberman pincher, but a mini. And so what did she do? She fell in love with that dog. She's treating that dog like a people. She's making sure that it's covered up when we're watching a video on a Saturday evening. You know how that goes. And she lets the dog sleep on her bed, on her pillow, you know, when she's not around. And she has a special bed for the dog. She has special food. She's, you know, a total gone woman into pets, you know, and it's wonderful. But all of her life, she's been denied that. Well, she doesn't realize, and I've never even told her this, she may even hear this, but she was having a little difficulty with some other experiences in her life because of the need to love. And because of what happened to her with her little dog, who, by the way, came to the family with the name King, and King is the ruler of the house, King is the ruler of the pad, King is and a pain in the neck. And I said, his name is changed from this day forward. His name is Little Love. And Little Love became a little love. A little snippy yet, but basically a little love. Complete changeover from a ruling the roost to being a little love. Now, she learned from her dog how to work with her children, her grown children who were married and had families. Up to that time, she had one attitude as she worked with them. Now she learned to, with unconditional love, to realize they could do anything they wanted to do. But if she saw them doing beautiful things, they would do that. She didn't say, you do beautiful things, or else I'm not going to like you, you know. She just saw them. She says, oh, he always does beautiful things. He always is so sincere. He's always, you know, and just saying, and you can follow suit or not if you want, but, you know, you sort of follow suit because it's said so nicely, you know, and not said with any demand, not said with any attitude that you've got to do it. And you see, that's how healing really works. Healing really works when we fall in love with ourselves and we look at the world through the eyes of love. Are you ready to look at the world through the eyes of love? Mm-hmm. You too, Leo? You ready to look at the world through the eyes of love? What about the rest of you? You ready to look at the world? How do you look at the world through the eyes of love? Well, first, you look in the mirror, and you say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the grandest of all? And of course, you know the answer. It's you. And you shut the mirror off before it has a chance to respond. You're not going to let another opinion come through there. You know the answer, and that's the answer that you want. So you say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the grandest of all? And of course, it's me. I'm glad. Thank you, thank you. You don't have to applaud so loudly, but thank you. But it's me. Now, when you look in the mirror, do you see a fat slob or a skinny tube? Or do you see a well-developed person? Do you see a man with grace and charm and a handsome fellow, you know, like me, you know? I'm sure not. Each one of us has our own charm and handsomeness and beauty, don't we? So, when you look in the mirror, what do you see? You see what you want to see. You see a beautiful person, if that's what you want to see. And you see an ugly person, if that's what you want to see. You see a person who is not very nice, if that's what you want to see. Now, if you're having difficulty with any other human being in the world and you need a relationship healing, whether it's a brother or sister, mother, father, husband, wife, grandma, grandpa, you know, teacher, business associate, a friend, no matter who it is, it doesn't matter. A relationship's a relationship. It doesn't mean anything to do with a sexual relationship or a personal loving where you hug pieces out of them. But it's a relationship in which you are liking that person and related to that person in activities and other things. So now, why do they have you in their world? Well, that you don't care in the slightest. You don't care in the slightest why they create. I don't care why Pamela created me in her world. I don't know why this creature here created me in her world. I don't know why, but I know why I created her in my world. I created her in my world because in my world I only have the best. Do you think the Queen of England walks around creating less than herself anywhere she looks? She looks and these are her subjects. These are people who respect her and who love her and who appreciate the things that she's attempting to do. She goes into the opposition party, if there is such a thing, to the Queen. But she goes into the governmental opposition party. And what does she do? They walk in there and they say, Your Majesty. They immediately respond to her how she has her image of herself. Now, what is your image of yourself in any relationship? Is your image of it, I own you, boy. You're my husband. You do as I tell you to do, you know. I own you, daughter, you know. You're my daughter. You're my son. You know, you do what I tell you to do. And what happens? The minute we have that, we don't like ourselves. We really don't. We don't like to be a dictator over somebody else. We don't like to tell somebody else how to live their life. We like to create people in our life, in our world, who are living under the same standards that we are living. Now, what are the standards that we're living under? We're living under that we are originally pure and integral. We want to return, like the dictionary says about healing, return to our original purity and integrity. We want to return to our original purity and integrity. Now, this morning, they had a healing session. It was a lovely thing. And as they did this, they were throwing away negative vibrations. Well, I have been teaching this technique to spiritualist groups, to metaphysical groups, to groups all over the world for, 40 years now. And I started out doing it when I was in Hartford, Connecticut. I was at the University of Hartford there. And this spiritualist group asked me to come in and be a speaker. And it was on the university campus, and it was on television, and it was on everything. It was really a nice program. So I went in there, and I had not had much experience with that before. And so when I went in there, and I saw the healing bench and the people throwing away dirty vibrations, wiping off their hands, you know, and doing things like that, I said, you're doing it all wrong, mentally, myself, you know. I said, you are the only source. You are putting into these people your love. You are putting into these people the recognition of their original purity and integrity. You are putting into them your vibrations of joy and peace and love. You're putting into them your vibrations of magnificence, of the divine within you. And that's what you're really doing, whether you think it's the other thing or not. But you can't take away something. I can't take something from you because you're not willing to give it up. But I can give you my love. And you can take my love and say, that's cool. Or you can take my love and say, not that way. you take it the way you are ready to take it, you see? Now, how are you ready to take it? How are you ready to be yourself? How are you ready to be the dynamic being that you are? Well, as I spoke to the University of Hartford group there, it was a wonderful program. And I had this super black lady. Her name was Clydia Lowe, L-O-W-E, it's C-Y-L-D-I-A, called Clydia, you know, and she's a super lady, and she brought me there. She had taken our courses, and she wanted to share them up there, and so I went in, and I said, Clydia, I always want to say Sylvia, Clydia, this is not my way of doing things, and she said, well, I want you to share your way of doing things with us. And I said, okay. So I did. And as soon as I finished that lecture, the entire church had a new session. They held an additional healing service. And in the healing service that they held, the healers, the ones who were self-confident, went to the people and said, I bless you, I love you, I see you filled with power and peace, I see you whole and perfect, I see you expressing all of the magic that the world is, I see you fantastic, fantastic, fantastic. And this is what Jesus said too, you know. He said, I cannot heal you, you must heal yourself. it is done unto you according to your belief. You come to me and you want anything. I can't do it for you. I can merely show you the way. What did they call Jesus? The way shower, remember? They didn't say he was a healer. He did healings on many beings, and his consciousness was so fantastic, so great, they were lifted up into the healing they wanted. But then when he left, they went around and said, look, I'm healed. See, before I couldn't do this, now I can. And look, they were right back where they were, because they lived in the past, because they wanted to take credit for something. Now, every one of, by the way, this lady's granddaughter, as I told you, had a tremendous turnaround. She is now madly in love with her granddaughter. She thinks her granddaughter is the super-est girl in the world. And the granddaughter speaks 4 languages, and she's only about 7 or 8 years old. The grandson is 8 or 9. He speaks 5 languages. And they were born in Thailand. And they have a split marriage. And they have a they have all sorts of problems. And those kids are so loved that they don't even know they have a problem. They love everybody like they're loved, and they're not angry for not being loved, not having parents who are living together. They say, ha, 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 I have a mother who has a boyfriend, and they are very nice. And I have a daddy who has lots of girlfriends, and that is very nice. And these girlfriends want me to call them mommy or what have you, and I don't call them mommy. I call them by their first name. And I tell them what good cooks they are, and what wonderful ladies they are, and so forth. And they bring me presents, and I am just overloaded with lovely, lovely, lovely things. And you know, that's the way it works. My associate had has a son, and the son got a divorce, and she said, how terrible, you know. And they got a divorce, and the woman was going to kill her husband, you know, with words, because he was not doing what she wanted him to do. She wanted him to stay married. And they changed their mind. So I talked with her about 45 minutes, hugging her as she was holding onto the knives that she was cooking the dinner with. And I had to speak to her in English, and she only spoke Italian. Well, after 45 minutes, she and I became the best friends on the face of the earth. Whenever she calls, I don't speak Italian, so whenever she calls, her mother-in-law tells me what she says in Italian, and I tell her how much I love her and stuff. And she, now, their son, the 8-year-old monster, absolute monster, I could not bear the child. He was something absolutely beyond words. And I said, he's not getting any love. He's not getting any attention. The mother is too busy with her big business, and the father's too busy with his business. They have no time for the kid. But then they got a divorce. They got separated. And now mama's fighting for being nice to the boy, and papa's fighting for being nice to the boy, and the boy is getting an extra mother and an extra father, and attention. The kid goes out with his father skiing maybe once or twice a week. They go to their place up in San Moritz. They go to the places all around Switzerland. They have a ball, and the father's taking up dancing now. So he takes the kid along to learn dancing too. I mean, my goodness sakes, this kid, yeah, I got it made, you know? Yeah, I got it made. And then the mother, I don't know what all she gets involved in, but she takes the kid along with her. Because she doesn't want to leave him home with the babysitter. That's my boy. He's with me. That's the time he's got with me. He's going to be with me. Whether I'm out dancing or whether I'm doing whatever I'm doing. I'm always doing good things, though, you know. And so she takes him along. And you see, that's a healing. That's a healing that none of, if I were to say, you need to be healed. From what, you know? From your attitude of not liking yourself. From your attitude of feeling a separation between church and state, between your child and yourself, you know? And you don't say that. You can't say those things. Because people will fight you tooth and nail and say, not me. I am too holy and too wonderful to ever be caught in a web like that. And that's the web we all get caught in. But when we start loving people, have you ever loved a kitten that didn't like you at first? Mm-hmm. And what happened when you loved the kitten that didn't like you at first? You just said, hi cat, you're nice, and turn your head away, and throw down a little cookie or something, and hi cat, and pretty soon the cat's climbing in your lap, and the cat's snuggling you, and the cat's saying, hey, nice person, I love you, you know. And, you know, that's the way we heal. That's the way we love. We don't love by force. We don't love by demand. We don't love by making anybody do things that they shouldn't do or shouldn't have to do. Healing and the basics of healing are when we like ourselves. What did they say? And I don't agree with the statement, but what did they say in the Bible? God so loved the world, He so loved His creation, that He gave His love in the persona of Jesus to be a blessing to the world, to show the world how to love. Now, He gave His only begotten Son that He might die on the cross for the sins of mankind. How silly, my goodness sakes. You know, only Abraham did that, not God. And even Abraham used it as a little gimmick to get his son in line. But can you do that? Can you realize that you are God and you have given your only begotten love to all the world, that all the world might be lifted up even as you are lifted up? Even as you are holy and divine, even as you are magnificent. You know, I will tell you this statement, and if you argue with me about it, wonderful. If you don't argue with me about it, you're not thinking about it. Every one of you right this minute is whole and perfect. Every one of you. Every one of you right this minute is fully revealed as a divine master. Right now. Every one of you can speak your word right now and bring into your life experience whatever you choose to bring in there. And you do. You do. This charming young thing here, she comes running up to me and she says, "Oh, it's so nice to see you." And she, you know, has that look about her, "Hug me, hug me, hug me," you know. And so I hug her. And she says, "Oh, that's so nice." And I say, "Yes, isn't it nice?" And then she stands there. You know, not that one hug was enough, she wants two. And so she still stands there and wants to talk, you know. And, you know, she doesn't say, "I want another hug," but she looks like she wants another hug, so I give her another hug. And do I mind? Not at all. You know, my nature is to hug. My nature is to love. My nature is to be pure love. And her nature is to give love too. Because she didn't just receive a hug from me. She gave me many wonderful hugs, as many of you have and many of you will at the end of our program today, if you wish. But if you have never been hugged by me, you have never been hugged by a divine being more beautiful, more wonderful on the face of the earth than me. And you say, "Well, Herb, you have an ego that just is all out of doors." And I said, "And so do you, because you recognize it. You recognize it." Do you think that kid thinks he's good? You bet he does. Why does he think he's good? Because his mommy tells him? No, he knows right within him that he's good. Do you think it's your brother back there, isn't it? It's your brother? Is he a nice guy? You see, when you are so full of love for yourself, you sometimes don't think of it for somebody else. You see, "I love me, I love me, I love me, I'm hugging you and I love me." And you say, "Okay, okay, okay," you know. "And do you love me?" Sometimes you're, you know, fuddled about it. You're muddled. You think, "My God, what's going on here?" You know, if I say I love him, what's going to come of it, you know? And well, what's going to come of it is exactly what you think is going to come of it. If you think what's going to come of the love that you give out, that what is going to come from that love is a perfect, harmonious, magnificent relationship of two people who respect each other in the ultimate, wow, so it is. Do you teach, you have any children? Do you teach any boys? Do you teach your boys to respect women? Do you teach your boys to open the door for women, including yourself? Do you teach your boys to set the table just like the girls do, and wash dishes and scrub floors and stuff like that? Do you teach your children that there's nothing above them or below them, that these are all fun things to do? Yeah. And how do your children respond? Yeah. And why do her children respond? And she's not just saying this. This is true. Why do her children respond that way? Because she's not afraid to do anything herself. She can get the razor blade and do underneath the edge of the toilet and clean off that calcium and carbon and all that junk that gets in there. And she's not the plus size. She doesn't have to wear gloves. But she doesn't consider her family having any diseases or any nonsense in the family. You know? She has her pure family, her pure world, her pure this and that and the other thing. You see, when you live in a soul of purity and magnificence, then everything in your world is purity. Has any man ever asked you to do something that you had to say no to? And when you said no, did you feel bad or good?
Good.
And did you feel good because you were the master of yourself, or because you felt so stupid for having him ask the question in the first place?
No, I felt good because I was the master of myself.
She was the master of herself. Now, do you remember saying no? And you, I'm giving her a clue here. You don't remember saying no because you do not want to put that no in your mind. You only want to put the yeses in your mind, right? Did you ever say yes to a man? Yes, I'll kiss you. Yes, I'll go to the show with you. Yes, we'll go dancing. Those are nice times, weren't they? Okay, you see, that's what you want in your consciousness. Your consciousness should be so filled with those yes experiences that are the healing experiences that make you feel good about yourself. You see? Yeah. We all have those no experiences in our mind. But, hey, love,
yes.
Will you hit me, please? No, 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 your answer is no. I don't hit. I don't hit anybody. No, that's a, I don't hit anybody.
Yes. Give us my love, Pat.
I know. My sister was 78, and she was dying, and she was having a difficult time. But, and so I was in there talking to her, and the whole family was there, and they say, Herb, now I know why you're a minister. You know how to talk to people. And so I said to my sister, I said, May, why don't you get on your horse and get out of bed and start acting like a normal human being again? She said, I don't feel like it. I said, May, hit me. Because she always used to hit me when we were kids, you know. And she was my twins. I was not the twin, but I had two girls who were twins. And I was not a twin. And I was a younger one. And they would always be pushing me around. And so May was the tomboy. And she'd always, you know, be hard on me and soft on me and hard on me and soft on me. And so she'd hit me and do things occasionally. And, you know, you don't hit back girls, you know. No matter whether you're a sister or not, you know, you don't hit back. And so I said to her, May, hit me, you know. And she says, I can if I want to. You know, here she is, dying and sick and not strong enough to do anything under the sun. I can if I want to. But you see, that's the point. If I want to. Now, how does May hit me? How did she hit me as kids? Did she hit me like this here so my nose went back through my back of my head? No. When she hit me like this, you know. And I never got hit. I don't ever remember being hit by her. I know she aimed at me, but she never hit. Why? Tell me.
Because she loved
me. The two sisters, my sister Marie, we were always the greatest of friends throughout we're over our time, aren't we? We're on 48 minutes, and you wanted 45.
That's okay.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, and she's just fine.
All right. We'll do two things. We'll finish the show, and then we'll go on with a few more comments, okay? All right.
Let's give him a big hand.
It's a joy to be with you.
Isn't he wonderful? We want to thank everybody for watching our television show. And know that we are on a new season. We have different speakers coming in that will be fantastic. Now remember that we have a lot of things going on at the Stairway of Light Learning Center, 337 East Grant Road. And Sunday is healing at 9:30, church is 10:30. And we have, again, wonderful speakers here. So everyone come and join us. God bless you and have a wonderful night. Amen.
Thank you.
Lovingly.
Lovingly. I know you all want to get home. No.
We're going out to dinner, all of us.
Oh, great. Great. That's fine. Okay. Now, you see, this is a game we're playing. Life is a game. It's a wonderful game of whatever we want to call it, whether we call it chess, or whether we call it relationships, or whether we call it manipulation, or whether we call it love. And I get after Pamela constantly about one little feature, and it drives her and Brad mad, and probably Richard too. Oh, that's okay. We don't need lights. We're not worried about that. But it drives people mad when these things go on. And as it drives people mad, what it is a one simple little thing. And now, if all of you will promise me on a stack of Bibles, right from within you, the Bible's in you, if you'll promise me on a stack of Bibles that you will do it, I will tell you the promise. Now, I know you're not going to do that unless I tell you. So, oh, you want that off? So, what is it? What is it that will make your world into the most wonderful thing that you ever had in your world? What is it on a stack of Bibles that if you did, that you would be the greatest person in the world? I completely forgot what I was saying, so I'm saying a few words to remember what I was saying. Now, what I was saying was, if, you remember, don't you? If you, and I tell you this because you do this too. If you can forget the past, if you can forget that there ever was a moment before this moment, and live only in the now, you know what will happen to you? If you live only in the now, you will be so fulfilled in your life. You'll be so revealed in your life. You'll be so fantastic in your life that you will just think that you're wonderful. Now, every one of you has the privilege of living in the now. Now, Brad was saying to me, I understand Campo is near where there were fires and so forth. And yes, that's true. And I never pay attention to those things. I was in, where was I? In St. Louis, Missouri. No, I was in New Orleans when the big fire came through that was burning all around our property. And I was talking to the kids on the telephone, the monks in the monastery, and they were telling me, oh, the fire is so close, the fire is so close. And I say, yeah. And there are 40 fire people here fighting the fire. And I said, wonderful. And I said, how is everything? And they said, okay. And I said, is it going to not be okay? No, it's going to be okay. And I said, well, why are you telling me about it then? Why are you telling me about this fire that is 2 inches away from my property? You know, why are you telling me about that? Is that any concern of mine? Is that any concern that I want to have in my heart and in my mind? No. So, you see, I had to tell them that right while they were there looking at the flames roaring through the sky. And it was a great and glorious thing. They took pictures, and they wanted me to see the pictures. And I said, no. I said, no, I wasn't there, and I wasn't there because I didn't intend to be there. I don't intend to be where danger encroaches upon our lives. I intend to only be where my life is filled with love, where all the people in my life are loving, gentle, and kind, where all the circumstances in my life are beneficial to me and to everyone else. And to do that, I must keep my consciousness pure at all times. Don't fight, don't fight, don't fight, don't fight, don't fight, we tell Jonathan. Jonathan's not a fighter anyhow. We say, don't love. We say, don't fight. And pretty soon Jonathan's going to say, am I missing something by not fighting? Am I missing something by not fighting? You know? And that's so stupid. We don't talk about the things we don't want. We say, Jonathan, you are a genius. And Leo, we won't forget you. Jonathan, Leo, you are geniuses. Both of you, you're exquisite in school. Every teacher in every class you have thinks, you have what, more than one teacher each? You have one teacher or more? You have two? Three? Yeah, three teachers, okay. So every teacher that you have, you love them. You think they're the greatest, neatest teachers in the world. And they take the time to work with you and make you feel good about the subjects you're learning. And your genius just naturally sprouts, you see? But if the teachers haven't got time for you, it's because you don't have time for them. Now, do you think nice thoughts about your teachers? Yes. Super! You too? Yes. Mostly, huh? Some? Any? Any teacher you like? Yes. Which teacher do you like? Math. Math? Math and science. Say it again.
Math and science.
math and science. And is it a man or a woman? Man. Now, is he intelligent? Very. Is he a loving guy? I mean, does he care about whether you learn or not? Yeah. And do you think that he's a good teacher, the type you'd like to learn from? Yes. Now, you see, he likes the subject because the teacher likes the subject. He likes the subject because the teacher likes to teach. And he likes the subject because the teacher likes him, and he likes the teacher, you see? So if we can start liking those things in our life that are beneficial to us, then it'll happen to us. Jonathan has the same experience. He has only one teacher, and he says, I might as well like her. And so he starts liking her, and he finds good things about her. And so every day, Jonathan stops in the garden in front of his house and picks a rose and takes it to his teacher. And his teacher says, Jonathan, you're cool. Jonathan, here's another A on your grade. And so, so Leo says, hey, what's Jonathan doing? He's getting all these top grades, you know. And his mother says, well, Leo, Jonathan is sharing love with his teacher. He's kissing her. No, I'm not kissing her. Loving doesn't mean kissing. Loving just means caring. Loving just means respecting and honoring. And so when we teach our children to love and honor at the early age with the idea that they're geniuses, with the idea that they're magnificent, they will express that. You too. If you will start doing this with that recalcitrant husband that you have, or that recalcitrant wife, you know what recalcitrant means? Naughty. With that person in your life who is not doing as you tell them to do all the time, you know. But if you can start realizing that they are wonderful, that they are dynamic, you loved them when you first related to them. You thought they were the greatest in the world. And the only thing is you grew apart because you were having experiences that they were not interested in having. You were having experiences that they were off on another trip. And you have to respect the trip. I tell the story, the perfect marriage. The man comes home, he says, hi, sweetheart. And he says, I'm going to be gone for a while, be back later. So a year later he comes back. No. And she doesn't say, where have you been? What have you been doing? She realizes he has the freedom to come and go as he wishes. And she's taking care of the kids. And so another time she'll say to him, she'll say, sweetheart, I'm going to go on a trip. See you in a while. And he says, good. How long have you gone? He doesn't ask. What are you going to be doing? He doesn't ask. There is no trust. There is no doubt. He merely realizes she is a pure being, rightful with whatever choices she wants to make. You know, if the wife says to the husband, sweetheart, I have decided to get cancer, so I'm going to be in the hospital now for the next 2 or 3 years, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to be very expensive, and I'm going to be costing all sorts of money for bills in the hospital and so on, and do you mind if I do that? And he's like, my God, yes, I mind you, don't do that. And she's just kidding. Now, thanks a lot. Okay, so she says, sweetheart, I'm going to be gone for a while. He says, love, I bless you and love you and just have a wonderful time. And so 6 months later, she comes back and he doesn't say, where you been? What you been doing? He just says, hi, love. And just as though they had never been separated. Do any of you have friends whom you have been away from for a lifetime, so to speak, 10 years, 5 years, 100 years, and you are going back to visit them, and it's just as though you were left there 10 minutes ago. That same person is there, that same loving person is here, and the same loving person is there, and it's as though you had never been separated. You don't ask, well, what you been doing all these years? Because that's none of your business. What you do is you say, gee, it's good to see you. You're looking fine. I just enjoy our company. And then you talk about the things that you talk about, which you always talked about, which make you happy, and you respect each other. And you don't doubt. You don't wonder. I don't care if you have been running around with a bunch of people who are not nice. I don't care. I don't care if you've been running around with a lot of people who are real nice. All I care about is you're running around me right now, and we're having a friendship, and you are a fine man, and I am a fine man, and two fine men together have a fine time, wouldn't you say? Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you see, put these causes in motion for yourself. Realize that healing begins in every word you think and every statement you make and whatever you do in your life. Healing takes place because of who you are, not who anybody else is, not what anybody else wants, but who you are. Now, are you ready for that kind of a life?
Yes.
Are you ready for a life that's filled with truth, with honor and goodness? Can you believe in yourself enough not to distrust in somebody else? Because if I distrust you, that means I know about that sort of distrust. Because that's the type of thing I would do. But if I don't distrust you, because I don't know what distrust is, I just say, will you do this? And you say, sure. I say, what's your first name?
Margaret.
Margaret, you and I have been together now for a little while, and you like me very much. So you come to my house and you say, Herb, your windows need cleaning. I say, Margaret, that's true. And Margaret says, well, I'd like to clean your windows. I say, well, anytime you want to do it, it's fine with me. So Margaret says, okay. Margaret, sweetheart, play the game. Look, just a minute. If washing windows is an anathema to her, is something that she does not choose to do, you know what she would do? Margaret, play the game now. If she didn't like washing windows, or if she didn't wash her windows because of her dainty hands, you know, but if she was that way, you know what she would do? She would bring her maid along. Stop it. I'm putting causes in motion for you, sweetheart. I'm putting causes in motion. So she would bring her maid along, or maybe her handyman, you know? And you would please do love it. And then it turns out, no, don't laugh now either. So then it turns out that Margaret gets a call from the sweepstake people that she's won $1 million, and she has to be down at the bank to pick up $1 million by 2 o'clock that afternoon that she's going to wash my windows, or else she will lose the money. And she has promised to be at my place at 1 o'clock to wash my windows. Now, true, she was going to bring her handyman to do the work, but that's not the point. She had to be there. She had to bring him. That was her decision. Now, should Margaret wash my windows and lose $1 million, or should she go down and collect $1 million and come wash my windows? Or should she call and say, hey, I can't come. I got to go get $1 million at the bank. Is that okay with you? Hey, if you want to violate your promises, if you want to violate your principles that you live by, you go right ahead. You know, you cannot be a little bit pregnant, you know. So, what does she do? Now, I don't want to ask, I'm not going to ask you this question, because I know that your answer is going to be frivolous. Frivolous means silly and stupid. Now, would you come and wash my windows because you promised to do it, or would you go and pick up that money that came in unexpectedly and had its deadline? What would you do?
I'd pick up the money and hire you a maid.
Yeah.
No. That's not you fulfilling your promises to me. Now, this is the same thing with your promise to God inside yourself. I will give you $1 million if you'll say shit. And you say, I don't speak like that. I say defecation, but I don't say shit, no. And I say, well, I'll give you $1 million if you say it. And his principle says he doesn't use language like that. He doesn't say shit at any time, not even when he's giving a lecture, no. He doesn't use that word. But $1 million is very tempting. And he says, well, what the hell, you know. So, I'll say it, you know. He has violated his rules. He has violated the principles of his life. Now, he doesn't have to say, I will not say that word. He does not ever have to say anything that he will do or will not do. In fact, it's only stupid people that make promises anyhow. You may promise if you wish or believe, I'm going to live my life according to principle. For every cause I put in motion, I know an effect is going to follow equal to it. And I'm going to put the cause in motion that I am an honorable person, that my word is my bond, that whatever I choose to do with anybody, anytime, anywhere, anything is going to be good and beautiful. You understand that? Now, could you stand up for that? Could you stand up? Do you expect him to stand up for that? You say, Jonathan, did you throw that stone through the window today?
And Jonathan said, actually, he threw it through the window in his mind. The other kids threw it in fact, but he didn't. But he threw it in his mind. He thought, ooh, great, you know, bang, crash, look at all that, you know. And he didn't do it in fact, but he did it in his mind, which is what Jesus said, whether you take it in your mind or whether you do it in fact, it's the same thing. So Jonathan's mother says to him, Jonathan, did you throw that rock? And he has to tell his mother, yes, because he did it in his mind. If Jonathan had seen the children throwing rocks, and he thought to himself, I don't want to be involved in this nonsense, you know, and he walks on the other side of the street. Or he bends over and ties his shoelace five or six times. He's tying his shoelace. He's watching the kids, and when they're done with their game, then he gets up and goes his way. You know, a little diversion for himself. But he will not be involved in anything that he does not agree with. Now, then his mother says, Jonathan, did you throw the stone? He will say, no, because he in his mind did not do it, nor did, of course, he do it in fact. Now, do you have the strength of character? And who's going to help him build that up? His mother, his father, his brothers, his sisters, his teachers, his friends, his world, the people he associates with. Who do you associate with? Do you associate with people that call you a naughty person and you say, isn't that cute? You know, no way. Yes, yes, Leo. Nobody calls you a naughty person, do they? They all call you a genius. Yes, Leo? They call you a genius? Yes? 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 Dwayne, call him a genius. Loud.
You're a genius.
Right. Call him a genius, sweetheart. Hey, stop reading and pay attention to the talker. Okay, makes no difference. You see, we get out of life exactly what we put in it. And if we don't pay attention, we don't get out of life the great blessings that come from it. I'm serious. Now, I say, will you go to bed with me? And you say, I don't care. Will you have a relationship with me? No. Well, why would you go to bed with me? No, maybe there's only one bed and we slept on that bed. It doesn't bother me. I don't do anything that is contrary to my rules and my principles. I am not a person who has loose morals. I'm a person who has very strong morals in whatever I agree. If I say I am available, then that's one thing. If I say I'm not available, then that's another thing. But you see, I don't ever do anything against my principles. Never. You see, they say the story about the nun and the priest that were put together in a prison cell because they wanted to see if the nun and priest would break their vow. And they didn't. Why didn't they? They had no desire for that. That was not their choice. If you are not a person who is on drugs or alcohol, you have no desire for it. And so if somebody gives you a bottle of gin or vodka or whatever, you say, that's nice. Anybody wants this here? I don't want it. Glug, 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 down the drain, you know. We don't need that. We don't need that. What did you put it down the drain? We could have put a wick in it and we would have had lunch, you know. And always use things for the many diverse possibilities that they have, and that's true. But you see, somebody may have meant it for evil, but the divine in us meant it for good. It meant that we were not tested, but we were fortified on our path. You're not being tested. You're being fortified on the path of goodness that you are living for yourself. You're being fortified on the path of wholeness. Are you whole and perfect?
Yes, I am.
Wow. Are you magnificent?
I'm magnificent.
Are you a genius?
Yeah.
No doubt about it, you know. Are you beautiful?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Now, you see, when we are asked a question, I want to everybody, you know, but when we're asked a question, if it is something in your consciousness that it is acceptable, say yes. Yes. Are you the greatest minister in Tucson?
In the country.
You see, that's the wrong answer. It's an answer that means nothing. On the ranch, I'm on the ranch, I have monks, and I'm always teaching them. I say, this is a school. The monastery is a school. This is a school. This is a school. And I am the teacher. And I'm always sharing to do things with them. And I'm always saying to them, Do you think that you would like to have $50,000, and if I give it to you with no strings attached, would you like to accept it? Now, he doesn't know what answer to give because he knows that there's something involved here. Now, the point is, if he says, if there are no strings, he answers it wrong. He heard me say there are no strings, didn't he? He heard me say there's nothing involved except it's yours. All he had to do was say yes or no. And you see, this is what we want to learn to do to every question that comes to us. It is not a multiple choice question. The questions of life are not multiple choice questions where you can take one of four answers. It is yes or no. Are you always doing the right thing at the right time in the right way?
Yes.
Yes. She had no trouble answering that. And is that always true of you?
Yes.
And you see, she even raised her eyebrow on that. Yes. And you see, that's true. Now, would you doubt that girl?
No.
No. Because she doesn't doubt. Is this your daughter?
That's my daughter.
Oh.
You know what? She proves me wrong every time.
I could see why you admire your daughter so greatly. You are certainly a well-chosen mother. Beautiful. Now, but the point is, if you realize who you are, if you realize that you are God, you could never lie. You could never steal. You could never act contrary to your highest good and to your highest nature. You could never act in any way which is not in keeping with your divine self. You could never do that. And are you God?
Yes.
Yes. So, can you ever act contrary to your highest self?
No.
So, I just took my microphone off there, see? Now, are we wonderful? There you are.
Yes.
There you are.
Thank you, sir.
You're so welcome. Now, can we ever act contrary to our highest self?
No.
No. So, why is it that sometimes we have dumb things happen to us or do dumb things? It's because we haven't looked at our higher self. We have looked at ourselves on the pathway of understanding. Are you whole and perfect now?
Yes.
Are you always whole and perfect?
Yes.
You live in a body that is the most glorious, magnificent thing you were able to
see.
Definitely. Is your mind so brilliant that everybody looks at you and says, yes, that's who I am too?
That's right.
She had no trouble. That was the wrong answer. She had no trouble at all. You see, but the answer is yes.
Yes.
Yes. You see, and yes, yes, yes. And if you start ad-libbing, then people doubt you. When you start putting other concepts in motion, people doubt you. And they have a right to doubt you because you're not sure. Are you a beautiful person?
Yes.
Yes. This is what you want to do. You want to express yourself instantly who you are, and that way you will always be who you are. Do you understand? If you don't know who you are, what is the world going to perceive you? God bless America, land that I love. God outside me, bless America. The God of the Hebrews, bless America. The God of the Islamics, bless America. The God of the Christians, bless America. You know, what God's going to bless America?
Oh.
I bless America. And aren't I? I am. I am a good God, a wonderful God. And so are you. Each one of you are fabulous beings. Each one of you are magnificent. Each one of you are great. And what time is the restaurant serving lunch?
We have to finish our services.
I didn't ask you that. What time is the restaurant serving lunch?
Right now.
Then, my friends, we have had a great time together. Now, don't clap yet. I'm not done yet. We have had a great time, and I appreciate that. We've had a great time together. I love you all very much. But as we part, I would like to give you a parting blessing and a parting love note. Okay? So, Margaret, you think you're getting something from outside yourself? Take your hands and put them on your heart. If you put your hands out here, the devil can come along and give you his defecation. Is that what you want? Is that what you want? Do you want anybody who's walking by to leave their dust in your hand? This is the heart of God. This is the heart of love, the heart of allness. And put your hands here. Pam, when you have them speak the morning blessing, where do you have them put their hand? Right here. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. Where do you put your hand? Here, right on your heart. You'll say, I pledge to the Pope, and I pledge to the President, and I pledge to the Congress. You do not. I pledge to the flag of the United States of America, the symbol that represents our country. I pledge to the God in me, my total, uninhibited awareness and belief and following. So let's put our hands lovingly across our face. Open those fists there. That's the way. Lovingly, son, Jonathan, join us. Put your hands on your heart. Josh, good boy. That's a lovely, lovely, thank you. Lovely, lovely. Brad, you going to join us too? Oh, you betcha. He's a good American, you know. So we're all doing this beautifully now. And it's not that you're doing it my way. It's you're doing it according to what you believe. You believe the presence is within you. You believe the power is within you. So let that power empower you in everything you do. Now let's close our eyes for a moment. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. We can say it together. I am God, together. God I am. I am God, 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 God I am. Keep saying, I am God, God I am. I am good. I am peace. I am power. Don't be frightened away from saying, I am God, God I am, while I say these things. I am God, God I am. 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 I am peace. I am love. I am joy. I am healing. I am all. I am that I am. I am the awareness of life. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. Okay? Keep your eyes closed for a moment now. We have been speaking our word, I am God, God I am, not because it's not true, but it's just that we have allowed ourselves to stray from this awareness. When the prodigal son took his inheritance and left his father's household and said, Dad, I'm going to go out and have a ball. And his dad says, Son, it's yours to do with whatever you wish. And so the boy went out and spent the money. And he did it in what was called riotous living. And he gambled and he spent it lavishly. And within no time, he was broke. And he sought work in a pigsty where they raised pigs. And he tried to eat the corn husks that the pigs ate, and they were not satisfying. And he did this for several weeks until he was just very weak and very tired. And he said, in my father's house, he treats his servants far better than I am treated here. I will return to my father's house in humility and say, Dad, whatever you want me to do, I will do. I am ready to be your servant. I am ready to be your slave. I am ready to have you beat me if you wish, to have you control my life and direct me totally. In complete submission, he went back to his father. And as he was coming home, the servants saw him along the road and told the father, here comes your son who is missing, and he's found. And the father says, wow, my boy is coming home. Take out the wet clothes and take his dirty clothes and wash his body and put on him clean raiment. He will be keeping of his wonderful status as my son. And go and find the fatted calf and make into him the ox. Make into him whatever he's going to be. Make into him the wonderful dinner that we're going to have. And so the boy got home. And the father said, "Son, you were lost and now you're found. Whatever happened in your past is forgotten. I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you not because you left, not because you came home, but because you've always been here in my heart as my son." And the elder brother said, "But Dad, I've always been here too. I didn't go out and have any fun." "Son, you may go anytime you wish. But you stayed here and you were given all the blessings that remaining here had for you. You're free to do whatever you want to do when you want to do it. My son who was lost is now found. He is home again. And there is no past. I bless each one of you with the blessing of the prodigal son's father. I see each of you today with no past, with no future, with only living in the present instant, as beautiful divine beings, enjoying your life beyond all measure. And God in you recognizes that that is true. And God in you says, Amen, and so it is. I love you, I bless you, I release you to your highest good. Thank you."
Chapter 3.